Luke chapter 12, we're going to read kind of a tough passage. Say, why is it tough? The wording is tough. Not the verbs and nouns, but what is said is difficult. But I do want to draw our attention to the last verse of the passage. So as I read Luke chapter 12, verses 42 through 48. Actually, we'll start in verse 41. Luke chapter 12 and verse 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, when his Lord shall make him ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. You say, that sounds pretty straightforward. That's pretty nice. As we continue. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, and the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. He that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. Look at verse 48. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. God, thank you. Lord, thank you for all the things you've given to us. Thank you for your kindness and love and grace. And Lord, as we look at this passage this morning, God, may it encourage us to serve you all the more. For you're a great God, a perfect God, a holy and righteous God. And God, you deserve every effort, every resource, every moment of our life. Lord, help us to see that. Help us to be convicted in our heart about that. Lord, again, I pray that you bless this time now. In Jesus' name, amen. I warned you, it's a tough passage. Say, how do you make sense of all that? Well, I honestly struggle with how well I can make sense of it all. Certainly, there's a penalty for those that know what is right and do with it not, right? The Bible tells us, for him to know to do good and do with it not, what does it say? To him it is sin. It's a sin to know to do right and not do it. May I say, most, if not, I could even go out on a limb and say, all of the sin we commit is not out of ignorance. We choose. We know. We're not enlightened one day of all of a sudden to come to find out, anger's wrong? No. No, that's not the case. The Bible warns us, he says, in the latter part of verse 48, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him much shall be required. Maybe in our minds we are attempting to disqualify ourselves. Nothing will be required of me because nothing has been given unto me. I'm a poor man, a poor lady, I don't have much. And we equate this to whom much is given with, I had to borrow this. This. You say, I don't have one of those. Been a long time since I've ever seen one. When I bought my car, I had to get it in cash, and they gave me $3,000 cash, and that That's about the most money I've ever held in my hand. And we look at that passage and say, to whom has been given monetarily much will be required. Is that what that passage is talking about? It's not. But in our mind, that's what we acquaint it with. Those that have the resources ought to do. But that's not what it says. See, the world will try and convince us. The mentality of the world... I know you're paying attention to where I put that $100. I get it. And I would too. I promised the person I would return that very quickly. But we all have been given much. It's not just a wealthy person or even a talented person. And the mentality of the world is this: you are owed. The mentality of the world is trying to convince us that we're somehow owed something. When I'm owed something, I don't fulfill verse 48. When I'm owed something, I don't feel like I've been given anything. And the devil is very subtle and very active and very good at making you feel like you have nothing to offer. I have nothing. I have no resources. I have no ability. Therefore, when I've read Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, to whom been given much, and you look out in your garage, if you even have a garage, and say, it's empty. You go into the cupboards, it's empty. You look at your abilities and talents and say, empty. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't give that. Actually, I deserve those things. And the world will begin to start changing your mindset that you're owed. When someone is owed something, they're very slow to give. The world will convince you that you're a victim, that you've been taken advantage of, that you are missing out on something, that you're entitled. How about this? That you are incomplete without. Unless you have this, you can't even function. We were at the baseball game yesterday, and the umpire in between innings took a step back. Hadn't seen this in a while. Took a step back. He was leaning up against the backstop there for a second at the boys' baseball game. He went into his bag, and he took out this, it looked like an electronic device, and then he flipped it open. A flip phone. I think it comes with a tape deck. And the world convinces us. How can you even function in life? You're not an active member of society. You have no say. You have no class. You are incomplete without. How could I ever be expected to give if I feel like I have nothing? And the world will convince you that you have nothing. That actually you're back in payments. You're owed something. So if you ever do get something, you are entitled to that. And then therefore, I do nothing with it. That's complete opposite of what the Scripture says. We actually, according to the Scriptures, have been given much. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you're within the sound of my voice this morning, you have been given much. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're going to read the first 12 verses. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance is unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. Look at verse 3, verse 4 is so important. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Last week we preached on the power of the gospel. What does God say? I've entrusted you with something. something very valuable. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as we know, or a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. See, they recognized that something was entreated or entrusted to them. And what did they do with it? Oh, they just sat on the information. No, they shared it. Something was given to them in verse 4. And in verse 9, they delivered it. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we have behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, verse 12, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. We've been given much. Say, what have we been given? I don't have one of those $100 bills in my pocket. We've been given something much more valuable than $100. Much more valuable than hundreds of dollars. We've been given the gospel. God has entrusted us with the gospel. I was thinking about this. I don't feel comfortable with it because it's not mine. But if I somehow asked Stephen to hold on to this during service. But he's drooling, so I'm going to say no. He was a little too excited about that. But I am entrusted with something of great value. It's not $100. It's the gospel. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Look at verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. Something came to me. The gospel. Paul says it like this. It was like scales fell from his eyes in Acts chapter 9. It was like his whole world was opened up. I hate to use the word, but almost like an enlightening sense. To have scales upon your eyes. You were blinded. You couldn't see. And then the gospel came to you. And all of a sudden, what happens? You're able to see things. You're able to see the severity of your sin. Not just your sin, the sin of mankind. This morning we were talking in Genesis chapter 7. God comes to Noah and he says, Noah, in 7 days I'm going to destroy the earth. And I'll make it rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And I asked the class, I said, if you were given 7 days, what would you do? If you were told in 7 days the world was going to be destroyed, what would you do? It's a good question, right? What would you do? Well, I'd go see Hawaii. It'd take you a day to get there. You just wasted one of your 7 days. I'd go, Max, I'd buy a fast car and I'd drive up and down the parkway. Go ahead, take my license. I'd go to Schmeg's for breakfast and gorge myself. That's John Wesley. I showed him that passage and they said, what would you do? You know what he said? He said, I'd do absolutely nothing different. What does that mean? That means he was living his life. that if in 7 days it were all to end, he was doing exactly how he should. See, something's been entrusted to us, the gospel. And if I told you in 7 days this gospel expires, it's done. What are you going to do with it? Hey, we've been given much. Our eyes have been opened to the severity of our sin. Our eyes have been opened to the severity of all sin. Not just our sin, but the sin of the person at the corner. And the corner after that, and the corner after that. We've been enlightened to the power of the grace of God. It is, as we sang, greater than our sin. Isn't that good news? The grace of God is stronger than the sin of man. Oh, praise the Lord. Because that sin's pretty strong. But the power of grace. Our eyes have been opened to the reality of eternity. That at any moment this earth could open up and swallow us. And some will drop into an eternal hell. Do we believe that? We've been given that information. We have been entrusted with much. We've been entrusted with the gospel. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Next point. We had the blessing yesterday of going out to Heritage Baptist Church. Heritage Baptist Church is about an hour east of here. You got to drive through some towns. On the way there, I don't know, we went one way, and on the way back, I decided to go a different way. It took a little bit longer, but we drove through downtown Palmyra. Man, a neat little town, and home to Mormonism, which is not so good. But it's an old town. And, man, there were some really houses, really neat houses there. I'm not sure if any of you, during the summer, it's kind of nice if you just drive down in the city of Rochester to, like, East Avenue or something, and you just walk around and you're looking at this going, no way this is a single-family house. Like, what does a person have to do to be able to afford that, right? My dad lives in Penfield, and a couple streets away, there's a couple nice roads, Ambassador Drive, if you've ever driven down there, and you look, and it's like mansion after mansion after mansion. It's like unbelievable, and you look at that and go, man, if I had something like that, I would have fellowships at our house, and we would do this, and we would do that, and we'd move church right here. This would be our church, and it's so nice. See the Land Rover next to the BMW, next to the Mercedes parked in the driveway and go, man, if I had that. And somehow we think we're missing out. Somehow we think that that person has something better than the gospel. I don't know if they're saved or not. But don't make yourself inadequate because you don't have this. We've been given much. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. There were years in my life where being raised by my mom, we just didn't have a lot. We didn't have much of anything. And as a little kid, you know, you're sitting there and your mom asks you, hey, what do you guys want? Can we do a combined gift? I remember we got a keyboard that year, remember? Rhonda and I, electric keyboard for Christmas. Great. You go back into school and the kids are showing all their stuff and all the things they got. And you think, man, somehow I'm missing out. Hey, Christian, understand that you're never missing out with the blessings of God. You actually have one up. What does it say? Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And sometimes we get down on ourselves and we have these little pity parties that somehow we're getting shortchanged. That God hasn't been good to us. Because what we equate the goodness of God with is earthly possessions. But that's not true, is it? The goodness of God is far exceeding that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 14, by their prayer for you, much long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. How good is the grace of God? I can't even, is what he says. Put it into words, Paul. No words. It is a spiritual blessing that cannot be measured. And that's what we walk around with each and every day. And for us to tell God that somehow we've been shortchanged or that we're missing out or I can't serve Him because I don't have enough. No, He's given us the gospel. He's given us spiritual blessings. The best blessings are the blessings that cannot be measured. That can't even be described. Romans chapter 14. Yesterday, had the blessing of... Man, it was so nice out yesterday, and we had a bunch of things going on, but Sophie and I wanted to do some door hangers. So we parked over here at the third thing in Walker. I would say number one, Walker Bible Baptist Church, the number one priority of Walker. Number two, the fire department. Number three, Walker Auto, right? So we parked over at Walker Auto, and we were going to do door hangers. We get the first house done, and we're going to the next one, and we're walking along, and all of a sudden I feel slip into my hand is the little hand of Sophia Irene Russo. Now we're walking down the street. She's got her door hangers. I got her in my hand. And we're walking, and the sun is shining. There's a nice cool breeze. It doesn't get any better than that. And she's just telling me everything she thinks about life. How excited she is for summer. She can't wait to go to Auntie's house when we go to Toledo. And she's excited about camp. She's excited about this. And she can't wait to see Uncle Paulie and everybody in Wisconsin. And just holding my hand. As we walk door to door hanging hangers. Daddy, do you think this person's going to come to church? Oh, maybe. What door do you think is the good door to hang it on? Probably the side door. It looks like there's cobwebs on the front door, so let's go to the side door. And could not be measured. I can't even describe in my heart how that made me feel. Well, we've been given much. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Spiritual blessings. Look at these blessings here. Righteousness, peace, and joy. We're talking about this at Bible study. Seth did a great job teaching Bible study Friday night at our house for our young adults. And it confounds us to think that God sees us as righteous, because I know I'm not. But yet somehow God, in His perfect ability, divine nature, is able to clean a sinner up and make him righteous. Isn't it good to feel clean? Again, we had a bunch of baseball games yesterday and activities at Heritage, and the kids were playing Ultimate Frisbee and dodgeball, and it was outside, and drive home was good, but it always feels good to get clean. Maybe you were working in the garden yesterday and you took a shower at night and just washed all that away, and feels good. How about in your soul? Doesn't it feel good to be clean in your soul? God gives us an ability to clean our soul, and that feels good. What's the value of feeling righteous in the eyes of God? Immeasurable. How about peace? To what dollar amount do people pay to try and have peace? Only to come up empty. How about joy? Do you see these spiritual blessings that God gives us that are unspeakable? The best blessings are the ones that cannot be measured. Ephesians chapter 3. We've been given much. We've been given the gospel. We've been given spiritual blessings. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, it says this, that He would grant you according to the, look at this, to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts as by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. The riches of His glory. God says that He will grant you according to the riches of His glory. He's given us that. The inestimable gift of the love of God. I get to experience that each and every day. Yes, I get the peace of God. Yes, I get the joy of God. Yes, I get righteousness. But here, what does it say? The riches of His glory is His love. Do you know what every single person in this world wants to feel? Loved. Everybody. And God says, I'll give it freely. What a gift. I don't got anything. Maybe, ladies, you look in your wardrobe of clothes. Thousands. To which you turn around to your husbands and say, I have nothing to wear. How is that possible? Look at all of those things. Those ones even still have the tags on them. How could we ever look to God and say, I don't have anything? You've shorted me. You owe me. Have I given you the gospel? Yes. Have I given you spiritual blessings? Yes. Have I bestowed my riches of glory upon you? Yes. Have I given you the Word of God? Yes. The manual for life that holds all spiritual truths, that gives us direction in relationships, how to run a home, how to be a husband, how to be a wife, how to be a father, how to be a mother, how to be a child. In the workplace, it teaches bosses how to boss, and it teaches employees how to employee. It tells us how to run finances. It tells us of where we've been. It tells us what we ought to be doing. And it tells us what's to come. You understand that that book you hold in your hand is a gift. We're studying in Genesis, and you know what He did to Abraham? Came to Abraham and He said, Abraham, I want you to pack up and I want you to move. Well, let me study the Scriptures. Is there precedent about this? Like, have we done this before? How do I take some consolation in that? I'll talk to you when you get there. Let me know when you get there. I'm so glad we have the Word of God, that I can open up and compare my life and the decisions that we're making with it. That when I have a question about what to do, I can open it up and it shows me and tells me. What a gift. People write books about topics. How to build a deck out of composite board in Northeast America. And there'll be a whole book about that. This book covers every topic that we'll ever need. Say, well, I just don't have anything to be able to serve you, Lord, with. We have the gospel. We have spiritual blessings. We have the riches of His glory. We have the Word of God. We've been given much. So that verse tells me, if I've been given much, much is required. You know, other versions change that verse. In other versions, it says much is expected. It's a big difference between expectations and requirements. If I expect Stephen to pay attention, well, if he doesn't, well, he let down my expectations. Almost expecting that he would let down my expectations. Nothing against you. I'm just picking. You're sitting here writing notes. Look at this boy writing notes on services, all right? Praise the Lord. This book is full of sermon notes. Excellent. You keep doing that, buddy. But if God says, I have an expectation of you, or I have a requirement. Requirement is more mandated, a command. To whom much has been given, much will be required. So that's why we try and plead with God that we don't have anything. That's why husbands play dumb around the house. So nothing will be asked of them. Hey, Spirit, can you go put in the laundry? I don't even know how to turn the thing on. What do I do? Here, yeah, give me the hand soap. I'll go put it in. Stop, never mind, I'll do it. Great. We play dumb. We do that with God. We walk around and we portray to God that we're a victim, that we're owed, that we're completely depleted of all of our resources. And He says, let me check your account. No, I gave you the gospel. I gave you all spiritual blessings. I've actually bestowed my personal riches of glory to your account. I've given you my word. No, you can't get out of that. We can't tell God that we don't have anything. Because we've been entrusted with the most valuable resources ever given. Therefore, we have a responsibility. A requirement. 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're almost done. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Have we not been given the grace of God? Yes, we've established that. Therefore, I should be a wise steward. I should handle it well. I should be a minister of it. That means if I feel like I'm owed $100, that when that $100 comes up on my account, you know what I do? I take it and I put it in my pocket. This is for me. Because I'm owed this. I'm incomplete without it. I've been missing out. Now I'm better. But the one who feels as though he has riches of God, you know what happens when that comes in his hand? This isn't even in trust. My job is to give this to somebody else. And then get it back. See, that's what we feel like. The grace of God. God owes me His grace. We've been given the gift of grace. Therefore, we owe it to somebody else. Brother, if it was mine, I'd give it to you. For unto whomsoever is given, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be required. Much will be required. You're not going to get to heaven one day and say, I just didn't have anything to do for you, Lord. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. So what is God requiring of you? He's requiring of you to be faithful. He's requiring of you to be committed. He's requiring, listen to me, he's requiring of you to be dependent on him. We don't produce the resources. We don't produce these gifts that God has given us. But we take them and we channel them and give them out. We are to be active. We are to be compassionate. We are to be givers. We are simply conduit. What comes to us goes out. I wonder how many of our homes, if God came in and said, what on earth is this doing here? Well, this was a gift. I didn't give it to you for you. I gave it to you to give it to somebody else. No, I'm owed this. You're not owed that. Can we change the way we see it? Can we change the way we see the gifts of God in our life? That maybe they're not for us. That maybe we were given them to us, to then give them out to somebody else. To whom much is given, much will be required. He's very harsh in Luke chapter 12 with those that were entrusted with much and just sat on it. Peter asked the question, is that for them or for us? I think it's for us. We've been given much. And much is going to be required of us. And no one can say, I'm without. Let's all stand. Tried to speak of the spiritual blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon us. But can I say, even physically, I mean, look at where we're sitting. Look at what we came in on. Look at what we get to take home with us today. Look at what we get to eat. Look at where we get to drive. Look at where we get to go. Not just spiritually, but physically, we've been blessed. So what are we doing with that for the Lord? Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless this time of invitation now. Lord, that we would be honest with you and that you would show us what it is that you require of us. Because I know I've been given much. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, whatever the Lord maybe touch your heart about, would you come talk to him? Maybe you've been holding back on the Lord. Lord has given you something and you said, no, this is for me. This blessing is for my house. Let's be careful that we not equate the blessings of God with physical blessings. We've been given much spiritual blessings. The riches of his glory, it says. The word of God, which gives us direction for our each and everyday life. What a gift. What are we going to do with that?